Welcome to the podcast where relationships, confidence, and determination all converge into an amazing heartfelt experience. This is Speaking from the Heart.
Welcome back to episode 102 of Speaking from the Heart. Today we have Stacy Shiflett joining us, and at first glance, Stacy looks like any other 50-plus accomplished woman. But behind the glasses and the soft smile is a powerhouse who acquired a $50 million software company with no cash up front, and who single-handedly implemented the first desktop computers to a massive U.S. government agency after a year in a field of work completely new to her. With no formal training, she became a subject matter expert and sought-after consultant in the world of federal government acquisition and procurement, who moved out of the city to rural America to raise a family and a herd of llamas for over 12 years. She owned a construction company and also enjoyed a career in the hospitality industry. Calling Stacy just a businesswoman wouldn't do justice to her. She's the queen of reinvention, continuously adopting and evolving every 10 years. This knack of reinvention saw her embarking on a spiritual journey as well after the demise of her 28-year marriage. Regular meditation became a part of her life, leading to an inner calling that birthed her current company, Modern Consciousness. The journey is not just about her business for Stacy, but about sharing her insights, experiences, and path to conscious, intentional living to elevate the lives of others. It is her passion and her mission to share her message globally, empowering individuals to step off life's treadmill. She aims to help people discover their unique happiness formula, enabling them to live lives filled with joy, purpose, and fulfillment. I have to say, somebody that is like Stacy reminds me so much of what I am going through right now. Sure, I didn't buy a $50 million software company, but I do work for the state government, and I realize that investing in yourself, especially with what we talk about today, with changing careers and the education that we learn, whether it's through college or not, all have similar lessons as a whole. How we decide to move forward with our commitment and our dedication often means asking a lot of questions. And we talk about this and so much more in this overall awesome interview, not only about Stacy's past, but how she's been able to accomplish what other guests I have seen in the past have been wanting to achieve, but haven't quite gotten to where Stacy's level is at. It doesn't matter how old you are, though, as I have always mentioned. It's about what you have as your open curiosity and your ability to be a compassionate listener that makes all the difference in creating that best value, let alone that best version of yourself. But with that, let's go to the episode. All right, we're here with Stacy Shiflett. Stacy, thanks for sharing your heart with us today.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
Yes, I think I finally met my doppelganger because you do coaching and services that align with my values and what I do. So I've been super excited to talk to you today, and I'm really glad that you have had some time to share with me as it relates to this. But Stacy, I want to start off this question because the audience has learned so much about you. I ran out of breath just introducing you because of how much success you've had in your life. And what I really have found interesting is that you've led so many different types of careers to get to this point where you're helping others find their mindfulness and find conscientiousness as well. Can you tell us about how you got started with even the first thing that you did, which I noticed was acquiring a $50 million software company? How do people find $50 million, first off, to acquire a company? But more importantly, how did you get into it? So tell us about that.
Gladly. It took me a while to really step into that, which is interesting publicly, right? To really acknowledge it and say, wow, I did this. People that I knew at the time knew, of course, and the companies that I worked with. So, you know, I had an idea. I had a very strong intuitive feeling. It was a field that I was in at the time. And I knew the gentleman that owned this one company. They were all octogenarians. And I called one of them one day and said, hey, I'd like to maybe buy your company. And he said, well, that's great, but we just listed it with the broker. Talk about perhaps divine timing, which it really turned out to be. So I pulled somebody in with me that had merger and acquisition experience because I did not have M&A experience. I don't even have a college degree, by the way. And
that's actually really impressive to not have one. Yeah.
I don't. He had an MBA, so I pulled someone that I worked with. I was a subject matter expert doing some consulting work with Booz Allen Hamilton at the time. And I remember walking into his office and saying, "Hey, how about we buy this company?" And he said, "Sure." And I walked back into his office the next day and said, "I was serious." So we set about trying to figure out how to do this, right? It took 9 months. They called us cashless investors, didn't invest a dime other than some of our lawyer fees. And we just pushed the rock uphill and we put our pitch deck and all that stuff together. I had such intimate knowledge of the company, the software, the space. I was a subject matter expert in federal procurement at the time, and it was a software company that automated all of the government processes for that, for acquisition and procurement. And he just kept telling us we were crazy, and even he said to me a few times, "There's no way we're going to do this." And I said, "No, it's meant to be, and we're going to do it." And by God, we did.
That is really a cool tie-in for even me, because I've been doing state government work, also procurement, for over 13 years in a variety of different ways. So having this conversation, like, the inner kid in me is like, "Ooh, I want to talk about procurement with you," but I know that this isn't the context to do this in, so maybe another time. But I want to ask you, with the fact that you've had all this experience with federal contracting, federal government, what led you into really then owning a construction company? Because what's the tie-in with that?
Yeah, I've been in the hospitality industry, which is a really nice way of saying I was a bartender or waitress, right? You know, I did that for 10 years at least. That was my first career. I popped home one day and said, 16 years old, to my parents, "I need you to sign this work permit so that I can go to work." And they were like, "What?" But they did. I've just always been that way. I had a llama farm. When I was pregnant with my son, we decided, I was married at the time, and we decided that we'd like to live in a rural area and bring up a child in that environment because we thought it would just be wonderful, and it was. So I did research and looked into livestock. I didn't really like slaughtering anything. I landed on llamas. So whatever I do, I just kind of dive in. And same with construction. It was actually my ex-husband. We were married still at the time. They had flipped the software company and I cashed out. I said, "Nope, I don't want to stay anymore." I cashed out. And so he said, "Well, there's this niche in the D.C. area, specifically Washington, D.C., for a program with the D.C. government." And it was all these qualifications and all this stuff. I wasn't operating as woman-owned. I had to hire D.C. residents, and it was this special program. So it did not operate the way he told me that it operated. He said, "This is all you have to do." And I said, "Yeah, no, that's not all I have to do." So we divorced shortly after that, unrelated. But I hired a very intelligent, one of the nicest, kindest, brightest, most heartfelt people that I have ever had the pleasure to know, to run that company for me, which he did brilliantly for the 10, 11 years that I had it. And I don't know how to build a house, but I know contracts and I know the financial end, and I was the investor, right? It was just my company. And the company did well. It did well. And the interesting thing about that is that was the time I was going through my divorce, and talk about sort of divine timing. That company really bankrolled my in-depth personal development journey. Mm-hmm. I had the time because he did such a great job running the company. I didn't work full time. So I was able to really fully invest myself in my own growth, which I realized probably a couple years, maybe even up to about 3 years after the separation and divorce. I was like, gosh, you know, I had to take control of my life, right? It's just not going to organically appear. It's not just going to change. I wasn't living life fully. I was living life fully, but I was actually adopting some bad habits. I did everything I thought I was supposed to be doing to adjust to this change in a situation after a 28-year marriage. So I got tired of being angry. That transition happened when I got tired of being angry. I was like, man, you know, when you get tired of your own BS, mm-hmm. You know, that's what I say to some of my clients. Are you tired of your own BS? That's when you really make a change, because the change is not going to happen unless you make it happen.
that is a golden nugget in itself, what you just said, because you have to start with that change. And I even tell my own clients, you have to be the change that you want to see. And sometimes you don't know what that change is. So we work through, what does it look like to be future you? One of the coolest things I actually do, I don't know if you do this in your own consulting or coaching, Stacey, but I've had people actually write their own stories of what they would be if they were dead and lying there in the casket and someone comes up and gives a eulogy, because what do they want to be remembered by? And I think that is really a powerful testament to what we look at in terms of not just ourselves, but what we think other people will look at us as. But it isn't just about what other people think about ourselves, but what we truly think, because that's how we live the conscientious living of life that we need to have. So I feel like I align with a little bit of what you just said there.
I think so. You know, what we think about ourselves is most important.
Yeah.
You know, that really is the most important thing. And I do some similar things with clients, and every client's different, right? It's the same but different. Everybody's journey's different. We all have a lot of similar lessons to learn. We learn those lessons and we acquire our virtues and our knowledge and our wisdom in different ways. But oftentimes those virtues and knowledge and wisdom sort of all come back to the same place, but we get there by a different roadmap. One thing that I like to do is say, you really have to be the person to achieve what you want to achieve. So it's like, who do you need to be to achieve this? So another really fun exercise is to step into that future and say, okay, in 3 years, I would like to be doing this. And then you start from there and work backwards. Okay, so what's the last step that got you there, and the step prior to that, and the step prior to that? So it kind of backs in from the end result to the current day of what you have to do to get to where you want to be. We tend to always think that it's about financial success or business success, and that's not what it's necessarily all about. It's a component, perhaps, but it's not the heart of the matter, right? We're speaking from the heart. It's not the heart of the matter.
I think that is truly important. That's why even you and I were talking about this with even the values of my own business. Relationships is really number one. And that's why I actually listed on my website as number one, because that is really important above all else. And that's what I truly want people to experience, is being able to have that growth with having other people, having the ability to think on the topics that might be tough to talk about, and being able to share that authentically with people, especially of what you said about having those conversations can be very tough in nature, but are often needed before even getting into the financial aspects, before even getting to the business aspects. Because to be honest, and I think you would agree with me, because of the multiple companies you've had, it isn't just about the business, but relationships come as the big topic that we need to work on first before the business ever starts. So we need to have those relationships.
Yeah, I find that we tend to, and I've developed a program all around it, but I find we tend to evaluate and assess our lives stovepiped, right? We look at our business, we look at business metrics, we look at this, we look at that. We manage our bank account, our savings account. We take the car in to get serviced in regular intervals. We do all these things, but we never stop and look at it all holistically as a whole, to really look at our entire lives. And what I find often when I work with people is that if something is showing up in one area of your life and it's causing tension, anxiety, unhappiness, frustration, resentment, whatever that is, it's often showing up somewhere else. It's just disguised as something different. So that's why I really like to work with people and look at all of the life domains and what's working well, what isn't, what do you aspire to be in this area, so that it's not only to keep it in balance. A lot of people use the wheel of life and they say it's to make everything balanced. It's not so much to make it balanced, it's to make it whole, so that it's complementing all the other areas instead of detracting from it. And that's how I do that exercise a little bit differently.
guilty as charged, especially when I was working through the Commonwealth. I spent a lot more time, my professional development, getting those relationships, making those connections to get those promotions. But the biggest lacking aspect of my life was the personal development. So being able to have authentic relationships with people, being able to have the confidence to talk to people, feeling determined to be able to put out there in the world, yeah, I'm here for you. But now I'm doing that and living the best life. And I think that is really important. But speaking of disguises, I feel like you put on all these disguises to then start your company, Modern Consciousness. And I know that's kind of a weird way to transition, but I think it's so true because you're living that authentic life. So tell us a little bit about Modern Consciousness. What got you started into wanting to coach others? And tell us a little bit about how it's changed you and maybe has rewarded you, because I always find fascinating about what you get out of it, especially as you put something into it. So I was wondering if you could share some of that with us.
Absolutely. So I was telling you, I did an awful lot of personal development work. I mean, I signed up with Tony Robbins and was a platinum partner for 2 years and traveled the world. And I worked with a lot of other people as well over the years. And the concept for the company, including the name, came to me after meditation. And I resisted it a lot. I was like, I'm in my 60s now. I don't know that I want to start another company. And it just wouldn't leave me alone. The concept of the company, the aspects of Modern Consciousness that I was given, the big vision of the company, which I'm not exactly sure how to do that, all came to me through meditation. And it's apparently mine to birth to the world, because it literally just wouldn't leave me alone. I was meditating here, and here in Florida, I live in Florida, one day, and I was like, okay, fine. You know, you're not taking no for an answer. You're not leaving me alone. What's the next step? And I got one word, and it said to write. And I said, okay, well, you've told me that before, and I didn't do it. So I finally just surrendered. I just surrendered and said, I will do it. It's fine. I will step into this. And within an hour, two tops, I had a text message from a friend of mine that said, hey, I've got a friend that's a publisher in Canada that's doing this collaboration book with Les Brown. She has a chapter left in it. Would you like to be in the book? So how could I say no? I couldn't, right? Those kinds of synchronicities that happen, and I'm sure that probably you find as you've been on your journey that they tend to happen more often as we listen to our little voice, our intuition, spirit, the universe, you know, different people call it different things.
As one guest previous on the show had said, it's really about the universal team that surrounds us, but also the fact that we have different clients. Yes, Brianne Dedino, you have to go check it out. And Brianne, I'm saying hi in case you are listening to this, I'm giving you a shout out. But for all intensive purposes, it definitely is about who we surround ourselves with. But also, as another guest had put it, it's also what we consume also. So if we're going to consume BS to get BS out, or are we going to do something much more powerful? And just to give a shout out to the book that you're referencing, I believe you're talking about the Ignite the Hunger in You. Is that correct?
Yes, with Les Brown and J.B. Owen. It was published by Ignite Publishing up in Canada. Yeah, it was a fun project.
If anybody is interested in a copy of that, I'll leave in the episode notes a direct link to where you could purchase that book. And there's also on Stacey's website a section where you can also grab that amongst other books that you've written, which I want to talk about here for just a few moments. There's other books you've written, including Ignite Your Wisdom and The Wickedly Smart Woman, Trusting Intuition, Taking Action, Transforming Worlds. And I know that for authors I've had on the show, I've always been fascinated by the motivation. But I think my question is a little bit different with you, Stacey, because like we were talking about earlier, you've done so much. Why write a book on top of everything else? Because I think everybody would just stop and say, Stacey, you're successful. Just stop. Stop being so successful.
Yeah, I've got a fourth collaboration book. I'm not sure what the date's going to be on that. And actually, I had a very random synchronicity come in for me over Labor Day weekend. And it was one of those super, super strong intuitive hits. And I wrote a solo book over Labor Day weekend.
Wait, you wrote a book over Labor Day weekend?
Over Labor Day weekend.
Wow.
And the working title, just because it's kind of tongue-in-cheek and it may change, but it's Stay Stupid, How to Live Unconsciously in a World That's Obsessed with Awareness, right? So it kind of 180 degrees from really what I would teach. But I thought of all of these negative traits that we have all had at some point. Some we still have or deal with people that have them. So it's like the fast and the furious, the allure of an instant, unthoughtful response. If you deal with this is what that behavior is, that's what that means, this is what that person's missing out on, where the lack is in their life I just can't think of how else to say it right now. And then it's like, okay, how do you deal with this type of trait? Then it switches to, what if that's you? Right? So it kind of leads down, but it's simple in that it's each chapter is a different personality trait. And I am super excited to say that I'm going to be working with Jack Canfield in a small group.
Wow. Jack is pretty well known in the community too. So that's pretty awesome.
I was like, okay, who do I know that can help me with this? Because I know a few publishers, I've published some books. And I said, you know, I have access to Jack Canfield through this program that I'm in. So I'm doing a retreat with him and Steve Harrison and Jack's assistant, who I cannot remember her name right now, but I'm sure I'll know it very well in a few weeks, a small group retreat to figure out what do I now do with this body of work, right? Because I personally do one-on-one coaching with people and I love it. But there's this whole bigger aspect to modern consciousness. How do we really get out there to the common man and woman, to the people that are just beginning to raise their awareness, or how do we help them raise their awareness and help them get to the next level?
I think that actually leads into a question that I have as a result of what you just said. Not only how do we do that, but in your opinion, what do you think is the most successful way to do that? Because I think that, yeah, there's no one size fits all. And we were kind of talking about that earlier, about the fact that we have to learn a little bit about what clients go through. And we also need to learn a little bit about what those life experiences are so that we could best identify in line with what they're looking for. But have you found in your practice something more successful with working with people over others? Is there something better in terms of like a technique that you use to kind of get them to talk about maybe something that they're trying to achieve or maybe something that they're struggling with?
You know, I ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. I ask a lot of questions. And my program is a little bit different because I do ask a lot of questions. And we certainly meet one-on-one. But there is a lot of journaling and guided work that's done written in between our sessions. And then we also have a dialogue back and forth in that document. And it's because it's structured. We go through different phases. We do an assessment of your current life. Where do you really aspire to be? And then we architect the bridge. You've got to recognize the gaps, how to integrate it and activate it in your life. But I like doing it that way because I know for me, and I've worked with coaches before too, so if you're in a 45-minute or one-hour session, the work that's done is only done in that session, right? So you're limited to what you can think of in terms of a response in that question. If you are the person that's being coached, if you're the coach, you're limited to what you can think to ask in that, right, in that session. And granted, they take turns. But for me, I know that for myself, I like to be able to really put a lot of thought around my answers, especially something that's so, so important. So this is the first thing that I take my clients through before we start perhaps more frequent, is it really works the mind in a different way. And when you write, it's different and it's a very structured path that draws you through. And then what I find in this, by the time we get to the architecting the bridge section, it's the third module in my program. That's really where all the magic happens. And that's where the people start realizing the themes that are showing up in their lives. Because we don't recognize it until we start looking at it all as a whole. So I think the thematic work is to guide clients through an experience that opens their eyes and awareness to the themes that are occurring in their life, and then why? Why is that? And figuring that out, and then resetting those beliefs.
having that thinking process is really important. So I'm kind of curious about your perspective of this, because I hear all the time about, well, coaching, man, I don't have time for that. And there's a lot of work that's involved with it. I don't think that I have that kind of time to work on myself. What do you say to people that are kind of dismissive of going through that long process? Because it is a long process. And I think it's intentional for many good reasons. But I'm kind of curious, after probably hearing some of that, even in some of the people that you've worked with, maybe potential people that you wanted to work with, and they kind of say that, what's your response to something like that?
You know, if you aren't dedicated to creating change in your life, change isn't going to happen, right? It doesn't happen without you, and it takes effort. I get a little irritated sometimes because everybody talks, you know, the big word now is manifest. You manifest this, manifest.
Buzzwords. Yes. Gotta love them.
And it's funny because you start to see things in a completely different way, and they manifest in different ways too. Maybe not the expectation. I read something on social today. Somebody was like, oh, I manifested all this money. And, you know, what I think to myself is, don't discount the work that you did to get there, right? So it's work, it's effort. It's not always pleasant, because we have to uncover trauma, for lack of a better word, that's in us, right? And we all have trauma of some sort over something or some things that happened in our lives, because trauma is the experience that we had. It doesn't even have to be trauma as defined by society per se, right? It's our reaction and what it did to us. So until we get to know that part of ourselves with open curiosity and compassion and self-love, instead of judgment or instead of shoving it back under the rug to deal with it another day, we have to bring those things to light in order to deal with them. And quite frankly, even in our modern consciousness for a reason, so even in the concept of modern life and something like human trafficking, for instance, until we bring light and attention to that, it doesn't change. And it's the same with our own internal worlds. It's not always pleasant to bring that up. But that's where you learn to also process emotions in a healthy way. And by healthy way, I don't mean you don't cry or you lie. You know, sometimes you need to lay on the couch in your pajamas for 3 days and just really process it at a very deep level and breathe through it and let the pain out. Otherwise, it stays in us, right? And we do have tools and tricks and tapping and subconscious shifts. You know, there's a lot of things to do, but it has to come through you to get out of you.
It has to come through you to get out of you. I enjoy and love that statement, because that's what had to happen to me right after I tried to end my life a long time ago now, because I had to let that go through my body. And I remember that being about 6 to 12 months of really working through that, and before I was even ready to even tackle some of the more serious stuff, which even for me, working with a therapist, it took a while, because it was unearthing some of the things that I had laid dormant for such a long time. And I think it's really important to be able to tackle
this. It's a process of excavation. Now, I've been divorced for a while now, probably, I guess it's 2012, so what, 10, 11 years or something? But it doesn't happen to me much anymore. But there'd be a time there where I thought, I've done all that, I've dealt with it, I want, and then all of a sudden, something hits me, and I'm like, oh, I already dealt with that. I already did that. And so I think when you say, when you start to see the change in yourself, so the really cool thing is when you go, oh, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being triggered by it, I call triggers our treasure map to peace. So instead of being triggered by it to go, wow, let's investigate that a little bit. And what is that all about? And then I'll have a huge aha moment where it's like, oh, it can be so nuanced, and there's other levels. And I think that those levels surface when we're ready to deal with them.
Absolutely.
You know, as we're doing this work. If we ignore all of it for a very long time, we generally end up in crisis. And I really don't think you have to end up in crisis, right? If you know that there's a decision that you need to make and you're avoiding making it because it's not an easy decision, till you make that decision, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. I think one of the quotes in my first book was, sometimes the right thing to do is the hardest.
Yes.
But it is the right thing. And when we live out of alignment with our true values, which we really do lose track of in society and how we're raised and what we're taught, and whatever, when we really lose track of our true values and when we really lose track of what our happiness formula is, we all have our own happiness formula. It's not the same as anybody else's. When we lose track, we lose ourselves in our activities and we lose track of that, that's where the trouble starts. And that's what leads to full-blown crises, in my opinion.
Well, I'm glad that we have people like you, Stacy, that are willing to help others, which we're at the end of our time. But I want to give you the last few minutes to share where people can access where you are located at in terms of coaching, and maybe they have some interest, especially after all these awesome things that you just said, especially here at the end, when it comes to being aware and self-aware. How can people get in contact with you? If there's anything in particular about your books that you like to reference, is a good time too. I understand you have a free resource available too. Maybe you want to mention that as well.
I do. But I have a free ebook. Thank you. And I think we just changed the title of it, actually. It was called Two Keys to Happiness and Peace of Mind. I do believe we just changed the title of it. It's actually a little bit deeper than that, but it is a free resource, and you can get it off my website, which is modernconsciousness.com. It has two things that really helped me when I first started my journey, and they actually come from the four agreements, but it's not making assumptions and noticing what offends you. But anyway, it explains some of the science that we're not really taught. Who knew what a stress response was? So it explains some of the science, and there's a little workbook in there. And my coaching program is Elevate Your Life, and that is also on my website. And I'm on social at Modern Consciousness, both Facebook and Instagram. And you can email me at empower@aware.life.
Awesome. And I'll put all that in the episode notes if you are interested in checking that out, my fellow listeners. But Stacy, directing to you, I want to say I think that all kinds of people sometimes have to find their calling, and it doesn't take a degree or a number of degrees to find it. You have certainly proven that with what you have done throughout your life. Definitely a enriching life for that matter. And I love the fact that you're still paving it forward to help others. And I'm glad that I met somebody that is unique just like me with this and helping others, because there are some amazingly beautiful people in this world. And I think you're one of them.
So many beautiful people. So many beautiful people. It touches my heart. It really does. So thank you so very much.
Yeah.
And I hope we keep in touch and meet again.
Absolutely. Thank you again for being on Speaking from the Heart, Stacy. It was really an honor to talk to you today. I want to thank Stacy so much for being part of the show and spending some of her valuable time talking about not only the things that we've been able to accomplish together, whether that is through similar works or other types of things, but how she's been able to transform so many different lives just because of the way in which she has made her mindset not only so impactful, but also helping others to create that opportunity for development. Because it's not easy to do all these different types of careers that she went through. And I almost felt exhausted just hearing so many of the different things that she's been able to tackle throughout her illustrious career, let alone the different things that she's been involved in. I think it's really an important aspect to not only deal with the things that we have in our lives and be able to move with the ebbs and flows that come through, but realizing that it doesn't take a college education to be involved with the investment of growing. I've had many guests on the show tout their college experiences, and somebody that has their master's degrees in business administration and public administration certainly is just an accreditation only in itself. You have to be able to understand that involving yourself in your personal development or your professional development takes a lot more than a sheet of paper or two to make you feel like you're certified to talk about a certain subject. Sure, a universal application of those different types of things can help you to get to where you need to go. But even nowadays,
I've seen states such as Pennsylvania, where I live, remove the college degree requirements from their job applications, thus opening a whole new field of different types of opportunities for people that were otherwise shut out. But it means also to invest in your own growth and take control of what's important. It's not just about changing that's really the important lesson here. We have to be able to create a life that allows us to create different types of opportunities, different types of materials, different types of options that we have. But it also means delivering on our promises, which is usually the most important thing that we could ever do. Yes, the spoken word. It has been the universal form of what really became the world of contracting, which I find interesting because even as a procurement specialist myself in my full-time job, I've learned different types of things because of the work that I've done, not only about the importance of writing everything down, especially in a contractual obligation, but also learning how to specify different types of requirements for companies that are looking to bid on products and services that we need. But yet it all started with just the universal bond. The words that we say and that we do. So I have to ask you a question. Do you realize how important it is that the spoken promises that we give to others are really the contracts that we sign to each other? Have you really thought about how your words are really entering an agreement, and that every time that you break that agreement, it's not making you look any better? As a matter of fact, it might be hurting your credibility, let alone your opportunity to form a lot of different types of options in your life. Do you stop to look at what's really happening as a whole as a result? And I think that Stacy really mentioned a lot of those different types of aspects in today's episode, not just because she was trying to form those different opinions about what she wanted to do in her life, but I think she realized her calling as a result of not just these experiences to help the federal government improve their processes, but realizing that she can help to improve other people's processes as a whole. I think it makes such a big difference to not just see what's important in the grand scheme of things, but how you can live in a world that allows you to ask a lot of questions, because there's no such thing as a dumb question. And I love the fact that Stacy talked about asking those questions and journaling about it when it's needed, because the questions that we ask that help us to probe into what that universal underpinning is of our life can make such a big difference, not just in the ways in which we help others achieve great success, but also allows us to work in different ways that we normally haven't worked in the past. What it really means is that we build a bridge of that dedication and commitment to those people and those aspects of our lives that we really should be listening to. And I love the fact that she uses this reference of a treasure map, and that we need to be able to find peace through all the different types of things that allow us to expand that peace offering, whether it's in our personal and professional lives. I can't tell you how many times I've broken that peace promise, especially when I get super mad at somebody because they might not be doing something that I asked them to do, but then realize that maybe I wasn't asking the right questions or giving them the right answers to those questions that those people were asking. As a matter of fact, I think a lot of the things that I've done as a result of those aspects of my life have really shined a light on the shortcomings that I often have and I need to improve upon. It doesn't mean, though, that I'm going to be perfect every single time. And I think that we all have to understand that when we are on this mission to help ourselves grow, whether it's through different things that we accomplish or the different things that we interact with, it is so important to not just discover what makes us happy, as one of my previous guests, Pierrette, has talked about, but it's about understanding how we can use that map that's allowing us to get to the hidden treasures of who we are to be able to create that best version of ourselves. It's not quite clear for many of us how we can develop that opportunity. Sure, maybe you can say after today's interview that Stacy had the unique opportunity to fall, quote unquote, into these types of aspects that she's been able to develop herself as a consultant, work with the federal government, be a successful businesswoman, create her company, Modern Consciousness, Whatever excuse you want to make for yourself, I think that Stacy is not making any excuses for us today to be able to understand that no matter what holds us back, we have to understand that we need to keep pushing forward. No matter what is happening, no matter what people say about us, and no matter what sort of failures happen. But we need to start looking at things as a whole in terms of developing not only what we have, but being able to live in the world unconsciously. Definitely one of the books that I will be picking up from her. Because we have to work our mind in a different way. If we're able to build a bridge that is structurally sound and is capable of carrying all kinds of different payloads across that bridge, not only are we going to be safe to get over that river or that cliff or regardless of what obstacle might face us, whether it's imaginary or not, we're going to be able to uncover many of the different things on that other side just because we spent some time investing in ourselves. So start asking those questions, start pursuing the truth, and start seeing that maybe some of the things that we have in our lives don't necessarily have to hold us back anymore. Freedom is when you're able to not just ask those questions, but to help yourself get to that other side, especially when it gets really tough to be able to navigate those channels. When you navigate those struggles, and I've even shared this with other guests that we've had on this show, even Brock Rolick recently, it's been about not just understanding that when we go through those difficult periods that we're able to be better, but it's about what we have been through. That trial, that persecution, that struggle will make us so much stronger to get to that other side. And we can have a clear consciousness with new truth, new reality, and a new perspective about ourselves. I know that it's not easy to always frame that bridge and be able to walk on the other side because you might not have the skills that are needed. I encourage you, whether it's me, whether it's Stacy, whether it's somebody else, find a coach that will help you to do that. If your business is struggling, find a coach that will help you to get to that other side. If you are struggling personally with your relationships, confidence, or determination, find a coach that will get you to that other side. But more importantly, if you need new skills, new attitudes, and new perspectives of what you're able to achieve, find that place on the other side that will help you to get to where you need to be. Because it isn't just about what you can identify and what you can see. It's about living a life of intentionality that will not just help you get to that other side, not just see that new perspective, not just taking that divine time to create that opportunity, but it's about investing in that change that is so important. Because change is the universal constant of all life's lessons. And how we handle it and how we stop to look at it as a whole can not only help us with our meditation and our focus, but can make us stay a little less stupid in the bigger scheme of things. But you're not stupid. You see that clarity now, and you're listening to this today to take that first step. The map has already been drawn for you. And whether you see it or not, just know that maybe somebody can help you to get back on that path, to find the hidden treasures that are not just inside of you, but inside of others that can share the same. Because those treasures, they're not just what you see as gold and silver and platinum, all the rich minerals of this earth. It's about what you have as the relationships, confidence, and determination to create something great, something better. And from what Stacy had mentioned, having that clear consciousness to be able to move forward, no matter what. Thanks for listening to episode 102 of Speaking from the Heart, and I look forward to hearing from your heart very soon.
Thanks for listening. For more information about our podcast and future shows, search for Speaking from the Heart to subscribe and be notified wherever you listen to your podcasts. Visit us at www.yourspeakingvoice.biz for more information about potential services that can help you create the best version of yourself. See you next time.